The Sleepers. I wander all night in my vision, stepping with light feet, swiftly and noiselessly stepping and stopping, bending with open eyes over the shut eyes of sleepers, wandering and confused, lost to myself, ill-assorted, contradictory, pausing, gazing, bending, and stopping. How solemn they look there, stretched and still. How quiet they breathe, the little children in their cradles. The wretched features of ennuyés, the white features of corpses, the livid faces of drunkards, the sick gray faces of onanists, the gashed bodies on battlefields, the insane in their strong-doored rooms, the sacred idiots, the newborn emerging from gates, and the dying emerging from gates. The night pervades them and enfolds them. The married couple sleep calmly in their bed, he with his palm on the hip of the wife, and she with her palm on the hip of the husband. The sisters sleep lovingly side by side in their bed. The men sleep loving side by side in theirs. And the mother sleeps with her little child carefully wrapped. The blind sleep, and the deaf and dumb sleep. The prisoner sleeps well in the prison. The runaway son sleeps. The murderer that is to be hung next day, how does he sleep? And the murdered person, how does he sleep? The female that loves unrequited sleeps, and the male that loves unrequited sleeps. The head of the moneymaker that plotted all day sleeps, and the enraged and treacherous dispositions all sleep. I stand in the dark with drooping eyes by the worst suffering and the most restless. I pass my hands soothingly to and fro a few inches from them. The restless sink in their beds. They fitfully sleep. Now I pierce the darkness. New beings appear. The earth recedes from me into the night. I saw that it was beautiful, and I see that what is not the earth is beautiful. I go from bedside to bedside. I sleep close with the other sleepers, each in turn. I dream in my dreams all the dreams of the other dreamers, and I become the other dreamers. I am a dance. Play up there. The fit is whirling me fast. I am the ever-laughing. It is new moon and twilight. I see the hiding of douceurs. I see nimble ghosts whichever way I look. Cash and cash again deep in the ground and sea and where it is neither ground nor sea. Well do they do their jobs, those journeymen divine. Only from me can they hide nothing and would not if they could. I reckon I am their boss, and they make me a pet besides, and surround me, and lead me, and run ahead when I walk, to lift their cunning covers to signify me with stretched arms and resume the way. Onward we move, a gay gang of blackguards, with mirth-shouting music and wild flapping pennants of joy. I am the actor, the actress, the voter, the politician, the emigrant and the exile, the criminal that stood in the box, he who has been famous and he who shall be famous after today, the stammerer, the well-formed person, the wasted or feeble person. I am she who adorned herself and folded her hair expectantly. My truant lover has come, and it is dark. Double yourself and receive me, darkness. Receive me and my lover, too. He will not let me go without him. I roll myself upon you as upon a bed. I resign myself to the dusk. He whom I call answers me and takes the place of my lover. He rises with me silently from the bed. Darkness, you are gentler than my lover. His flesh was sweaty and panting. I feel the hot moisture yet that he left me. My hands are spread forth. I pass them in all directions. I would sound up the shadowy shore to which you are journeying. Be careful, darkness. Already, what was it touched me? I thought my lover had gone, else darkness and he are one. I hear the heartbeat. I follow. I fade away. I descend my western course. My sinews are flaccid. Perfume and youth course through me, and I am their wake. It is my face, yellow and wrinkled instead of the old woman's. I sit low in a straw-bottomed chair and carefully don my grandson's stockings. It is I, too, the sleepless widow looking out on the winter midnight. I see the sparkles of starshine on the icy and pallid earth. A shroud I see, and I am the shroud. I wrap a body and lie in the coffin. It is dark here underground. It is not evil or pain here. It is blank here, for reasons. It seems to me that everything in the light and air ought to be happy. Whoever is not in his coffin in the dark grave, let him know he has enough. I see a beautiful, gigantic swimmer swimming naked through the eddies of the sea. His brown hair lies close and even to his head. He strikes out with courageous arms. He urges himself with his legs. I see his white body. I see his undaunted eyes. I hate the swift-running eddies that would dash him head foremost on the rocks. What are you doing, you ruffianly red-trickled waves? Will you kill the courageous giant? Will you kill him in the prime of his middle age? Steady and long he struggles. He is baffled, banged, bruised. He holds out while his strength holds out. The slapping eddies are spotted with his blood. They bear him away. They roll him, swing him, turn him. His beautiful body is borne in the circling eddies. It is continually bruised on rocks. Swiftly and out of sight is borne the brave corpse. I turn, but do not extricate myself. Confused. A past reading, another, but with darkness yet. The beach is cut by the razory ice wind. The wreck guns sound. The tempest lulls. The moon comes floundering through the drifts. I look where the ship helplessly heads end on. I hear the burst as she strikes. I hear the howls of dismay. They grow fainter and fainter. I cannot aid with my wringing fingers. I can but rush to the surf and let it drench me and freeze upon me. I search with the crowd. Not one of the company is washed to us alive. In the morning, I help pick up the dead and lay them in rows in a barn. Now, of the older war days, the defeat at Brooklyn. Washington stands inside the lines. He stands on the entrenched hills amid a crowd of officers. His face is cold and damp. He cannot repress the weeping drops. He lifts the glass perpetually to his eyes. The color is blanched from his cheeks. He sees the slaughter of the Southern braves confided to him by their parents. The same, at last and at last, when peace is declared. He stands in the room of the old tavern. The well-beloved soldiers all pass through. The officers, speechless and slow, draw near in their turns. The chief encircles their necks with his arm and kisses them on the cheek. He kisses lightly the wet cheeks one after another. He shakes hands and bids goodbye to the army. Now, what my mother told me one day as we sat at dinner together, of when she was a nearly grown girl living home with her parents on the old homestead. A red squaw came one breakfast time to the old homestead. On her back she carried a bundle of rushes for rush-bottoming chairs. Her hair, straight, shiny, coarse, black, profuse, half enveloped her face. Her step was free and elastic, and her voice sounded exquisitely as she spoke. My mother looked in delight and amazement at the stranger. She looked at the freshness of her tall-born face and full and pliant limbs. The more she looked upon her, she loved her. Never before had she seen such wonderful beauty and purity. She made her sit on a bench by the jamb of the fireplace. She cooked food for her. She had no work to give her, but she gave her remembrance and fondness. The Red Squaw stayed all the forenoon, and toward the middle of the afternoon, she went away. Oh, my mother was loath to have her go away. All the week, she thought of her. She watched for her many a month. She remembered her many a winter and many a summer. But the Red Squaw never came nor was heard of there again. A show of the summer softness, a contact of something unseen, an amour of the light and air. I am jealous and overwhelmed with friendliness and will go gallivant with the light and air myself. O love and summer, you are in the dreams and in me. Autumn and winter are in the dreams. The farmer goes with his thrift, the droves and crops increase, the barns are well filled. Elements merge in the night. Ships make tacks in the dreams. The sailor sails, the exile returns home. The fugitive returns unharmed. The immigrant is back beyond months and years. The poor Irishman lives in the simple house of his childhood with the well-known neighbors and faces. They warmly welcome him. He is barefoot again. He forgets he is well off. The Dutchman voyages home, and the Scotchman and Welshman voyage home, and the native of the Mediterranean voyages home. To every port of England, France, Spain, enter well-filled ships. The Swiss foots it toward his hills. The Prussian goes his way, the Hungarian his way, and the Pole his way. The Swede returns, and the Dane and Norwegian return. The homeward bound and the outward bound, the beautiful lost swimmer, the ennuyé, the onanist, the female that loves unrequited, the moneymaker, the actor and actress, those through with their parts and those waiting to commence, the affectionate boy, the husband and wife, the voter, the nominee that is chosen and the nominee that has failed, the great already known and the great any time after today, the stammerer, the sick, the perfect formed, the homely, the criminal that stood in the box, the judge that sat and sentenced him, the fluent lawyers, the jury, the audience, the laugher and weeper, the dancer, the midnight widow, the red squaw, the consumptive, the erysipelite, the idiot, he that is wronged, the antipodes, and every one between this and them in the dark, I swear they are averaged now. One is no better than the other. The night and sleep have likened them and restored them. I swear they are all beautiful. Everyone that sleeps is beautiful. Everything in the dim light is beautiful. The wildest and bloodiest is over, and all is peace. Peace is always beautiful. The myth of heaven indicates peace and night. The myth of heaven indicates the soul. The soul is always beautiful. It appears more or it appears less. It comes or it lags behind. It comes from its embowered garden and looks pleasantly on itself and encloses the world. Perfect and clean the genitals previously jetting, and perfect and clean the womb cohering. The head well grown, proportioned and plumb, and the bowels and joints proportioned and plumb. The soul is always beautiful. The universe is duly in order. Everything is in its place. What has arrived is in its place, and what waits shall be in its place. The twisted skull waits. The watery or rotten blood waits. The child of the glutton or venereally waits long, and the child of the drunkard waits long, and the drunkard himself waits long. The sleepers that lived and died wait. The far advanced are to go on in their turns, and the far behind are to come on in their turns. The diverse shall be no less diverse, but they shall flow and unite. They unite now. The sleepers are very beautiful as they lie unclothed. They flow hand in hand over the whole earth, from east to west as they lie unclothed. The Asiatic and African are hand in hand. The European and American are hand in hand. Learned and unlearned are hand in hand. And male and female are hand in hand. The bare arm of the girl crosses the bare breast of her lover. They press close, without lust. His lips press her neck. The father holds his grown or ungrown son in his arms with measureless love, and the son holds the father in his arms with measureless love. The white hair of the mother shines on the white wrist of the daughter. The breath of the boy goes with the breath of the man. Friend is inarmed by friend. The scholar kisses the teacher, and the teacher kisses the scholar. The wronged is made right. The call of the slave is one with the master's call, and the master salutes the slave. The felon steps forth from the prison. The insane becomes sane. The suffering of sick persons is relieved. The sweatings and fevers stop. The throat that was unsound is sound. The lungs of the consumptive are resumed. The poor distressed head is free. The joints of the rheumatic move as smoothly as ever, and smoother than ever. Stiflings and passages open. The paralyzed become supple. The swelled and convulsed and congested awake to themselves in condition. They pass the invigoration of the night and the chemistry of the night and awake. I too pass from the night. I stay a while away, O night, but I return to you again and love you. Why should I be afraid to trust myself to you? I am not afraid. I have been well brought forward by you. I love the rich running day, but I do not desert her in whom I lay so long. I know not how I came of you, and I know not where I go with you, but I know I came well and shall go well. I will stop only a time with the night and rise betimes. I will duly pass the day, O my mother, and duly return to you. The Wound Dresser. An old man bending, I come among new faces. Years looking backward, resuming in answer to children. Come, tell us, old man, as from young men and maidens that love me. Aroused and angry, I'd thought to beat the alarum and urge relentless war, but soon my fingers failed me, my face drooped, and I resigned myself to sit by the wounded and soothe them or silently watch the dead. Years hence, of these scenes, of these furious passions, these chances, of unsurpassed heroes, was one side so brave, the other was equally brave. Now be witness again. Paint the mightiest armies of earth, of those armies so rapid, so wondrous. What saw you to tell us? What stays with you latest and deepest? Of curious panics, of hard-fought engagements or sieges tremendous, what deepest remains? O maidens and young men I love and that love me, what you ask of my days, those the strangest and sudden your talking recalls. Soldier alert, I arrive after a long march covered with sweat and dust. In the nick of time I come, plunge in the fight, loudly shout in the rush of successful charge, enter the captured works. Yet, lo, like a swift-running river they fade, pass and are gone, they fade. I dwell not on soldiers' perils or soldiers' joys. Both I remember well, many the hardships, few the joys, yet I was content. But in silence, in dreams' projections, while the world of gain and appearance and mirth goes on, so soon what is over forgotten, and waves wash the imprints off the sand, With hinged knees returning, I enter the doors. While for you up there, whoever you are, follow without noise and be of strong heart. Bearing the bandages, water and sponge, straight and swift to my wounded I go, where they lie on the ground after the battle brought in, where their priceless blood reddens the grass, the ground, or to the rose of the hospital tent, or under the roofed hospital, to the long rows of cots up and down each side I return. To each and all, one after another, I draw near. Not one do I miss. An attendant follows holding a tray. He carries a refuse pail, soon to be filled with clotted rags and blood, emptied and filled again. I onward go. I stop, with hinged knees and steady hand to dress wounds. I am firm with each. The pangs are sharp, yet unavoidable. One turns to me his appealing eyes. Poor boy, I never knew you. Yet I think I could not refuse this moment to die for you, if that would save you. On I go. Open, doors of time. Open, hospital doors. The crushed head I dress. Poor crazed hand, tear not the bandage away. The neck of the cavalryman with the bullet through and through I examine. Hard the breathing rattles, quite glazed already the eye, yet life struggles hard. Come, sweet death, be persuaded, O beautiful death, in mercy come quickly. From the stump of the arm, the amputated hand, I undo the clotted lint, remove the slough, wash off the matter and blood. Back on his pillow, the soldier bends with curved neck and side falling head. His eyes are closed, his face is pale. He dares not look on the bloody stump and has not yet looked on it. I dress a wound in the side, deep, deep. But a day or two more, for see the frame all wasted and sinking and the yellow-blue countenance see. I dress the perforated shoulder, the foot with a bullet wound, cleanse the one with annoying and putrid gangrene, so sickening, so offensive, while the attendant stands behind, beside me, holding the tray and pail. I am faithful. I do not give out. The fractured thigh, the knee, the wound in the abdomen, these and more I dress with impassive hand. Yet deep in my breast, a fire, a burning flame. Thus, in silence, in dreams, projections, returning, resuming, I thread my way through the hospitals. The hurt and wounded I pacify with soothing hand. I sit by the restless all the dark night. Some are so young, some suffer so much. I recall the experience, sweet and sad. Many a soldier's loving arms about this neck have crossed and rested. Many a soldier's kiss dwells on these bearded lips. Give me the splendid silent sun. Give me the splendid silent sun with all his beams full dazzling. Give me juicy autumnal fruit, ripe and red from the orchard. Give me a field where the unmowed grass grows. Give me an arbor. Give me the trellised grape. Give me fresh corn and wheat. Give me serene moving animals teaching content. Give me nights perfectly quiet, as on high plateaus west of the Mississippi, and I looking up at the stars. Give me, odorous at sunrise, a garden of beautiful flowers where I can walk undisturbed. Give me for marriage a sweet-breathed woman of whom I should never tire. Give me a perfect child. Give me a way aside from the noise of the world, a rural domestic life. Give me to warble spontaneous songs, recluse by myself, for my own ears only. Give me solitude. Give me nature. Give me again, O nature, your primal sanities. These demanding to have them, tired with ceaseless excitement and racked by the war strife, these to procure incessantly asking, rising in cries from my throat, while yet incessantly asking, still I adhere to my city, day upon day and year upon year, O city, walking your streets, where you hold me enchained a certain time, refusing to give me up, yet giving to make me glutted, enriched of soul, you give me forever faces. Oh, I see what I sought to escape, confronting, reversing my cries. I see my own soul trampling down what it asked for. Keep your splendid silence, son. Keep your woods, O nature, and the quiet places by the woods. Keep your fields of clover and timothy and your cornfields and orchards. Keep the blossoming buckwheat fields where the ninth-month bees hum. Give me faces and streets. Give me these phantoms incessant and endless along the trottoirs. Give me interminable eyes. Give me women. Give me comrades and lovers by the thousand. Let me see new ones every day. Let me hold new ones by the hand every day. Give me such shows. Give me the streets of Manhattan. Give me Broadway with the soldiers marching. Give me the sound of the trumpets and drums. The soldiers in companies or regiments, some starting away flushed and reckless, some, their time up, returning with thinned ranks, young yet very old, worn, marching, noticing nothing. Give me the shores and wharves heavy fringed with black ships. Oh, such for me. Oh, an intense life, full to repletion and varied. The life of the theater, barroom, huge hotel for me. The saloon of the steamer, the crowded excursion for me, the torchlight procession, the dense brigade bound for the war with high-piled military wagons following. People, endless, streaming, with strong voices, passions, pageants. Manhattan streets with their powerful throbs, with beating drums as now. The endless and noisy chorus, the rustle and clank of muskets. Even the sight of the wounded. Manhattan crowds with their turbulent musical chorus. Manhattan faces and eyes forever for me. I saw in Louisiana a live oak growing. I saw in Louisiana a live oak growing. All alone stood it. And the moss hung down from the branches. Without any companion, it grew there, uttering joyous leaves of dark green. And its look, rude, unbending, lusty, made me think of myself. But I wondered how it could utter joyous leaves standing alone there without its friend near, for I knew I could not. And I broke off a twig with a certain number of leaves upon it and twined around it a little moss, and brought it away, and I have placed it in sight in my room. It is not needed to remind me as of my own dear friends, for I believe lately I think of little else than of them. Yet it remains to me a curious token. It makes me think of manly love. For all that, and though the live oak glistens there in Louisiana solitary in a wide, flat space, uttering joyous leaves all its life without a friend, a lover near, I know very well I could not. I hear it was charged against me. I hear it was charged against me that I sought to destroy institutions, but really, I am neither for nor against institutions. What indeed have I in common with them? Or what with the destruction of them? Only I will establish in the Manhattan and in every city of these states, inland and seaboard, and in the fields and woods, and above every keel, little or large, that dents the water, without edifices or rules or trustees or any argument, the institution of the dear love of comrades.